Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 650 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is September 26, 2021, and I am just one of your humble hosts today. Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. Also joining me today, we have Mr. Robin Tate.
Hello there.
Hello, Robin. Robin spinning the decks for us today, trying to work the back-end magic, which has been a little challenging. Also on the show, looking quite salmon-esque, we have Peachin.
What's up, 650?
I know, 650 in the books. hey, if you are new to the podcast, we are a video game podcast, but we talk about more than just video games. We talk about life. We talk about all the community stuff going on, as well as, of course, video games, because that is our passion. That is our main hobby. And we are on every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast. And if you are in Kim's time zone right now, weeping the loss from your Kansas City Chiefs, you're at 3 p.m. Central time zone. All right. Cruel. I know. I am. I say that, of course, there's 5 seconds left. You never know. I might be premature on this. Hey. Gary Symington is celebrating his 32nd birthday on the 20th of this month. Congratulations, Gary. And I will be celebrating 75 on the 29th. So I look pretty damn good for 75, if I do say so myself. Yeah. All right. Let's play a birthday song, Robin.
Happy fucking birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. To you, happy birthday! Insert name here. Happy birthday to you!
Gentleman is not recognized.
Hey, you know what? I forgot a couple birthdays. I want to make sure I get them in there real quickly. My mother-in-law actually celebrating her birthday today. So I've already sung happy birthday to her. So happy birthday, Wilma. Also, my nephew is celebrating a birthday tomorrow, Austin. So he is the son to my sister, Cherie, who is recovering at home already from her brain aneurysm craziness. I cannot believe it. But yeah, so just getting those other birthday celebrations in. Let's talk about life. Let's talk about what's going on. Robin, play me a sound.
Hooray, story time. Hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
All right. So outside of celebrating the Chiefs losing to the Chargers, Pete, what's been going on in your life this past week?
It's not been a spectacle really this week for me. I've things has been going as normal, like work. But I've been watching Married at First Sight UK, which I really don't watch that much television. And I seem to watch all the TV soaps or TV series, which everybody else hates. But anyway, I've watched Married at First Sight, and that seems to be sparking up a bit of drama. I've also, on Netflix, there's...
We can't skip past Married at First Sight. We can't just gloss over this, Pete, because I've noticed your attire of late you've been embracing pastel-y type colors. Yeah. Obviously you have the tattoos, which are very manly, but I feel like you're starting to embrace a little bit of floweriness, and I'm worried that these television shows might be influencing you.
Oh, no, I'm already there as far as your gaydar. So
is Shell aware of this? Is Shell aware of
the
gaydar?
Yes, she's well happy, yeah.
Okay, yes. All right.
I've been watching a program on Netflix that we watched series one last year or the year before, and it's called Love on the spectrum, and it's about people with ADHD, autism, that basically just want to find love, and they go on this this date with another person who's got the same I suppose the same diagnosis as them, or very similar, and they're trying to match these people together, and it's really, really good to watch. Season one was a cracker. Some of the season one cast are in season two. It's based in Australia, this, and it's really good. We watched two episodes this week, so that's the TV that I've watched. We've took our dog for his first walk out in the big wide world this week. In fact, he's been for about five now. We've been keen to get him out of the house because I think he's been going a bit stir crazy. And when he gets a bit restless, he starts to nip a little bit. But this week, because we've been taking him out, we've took him to a couple of parks and took him out on the streets, and we've not really heard that much from him. He's been pretty quiet this week. I think he's been a bit overwhelmed and tired. We've worn him out, so he's enjoying his little walks. I think it's hard walking puppies. It took us an hour to walk to the bottom of the street and back, and I only wanted to get a loaf of bread, and Shell ended up carrying on past me and ended up walking to the shops and going back, coming back to me. And it took us about an hour just to walk to the bottom of the street and back with the dog. He keeps on sitting down after about 2 hours and just wants to park his arse and fall to sleep. He's quite a lazy dog. That's what English bulldogs do. So,
you knew what you were getting into, Pete. You knew what you were getting into.
Well, we wanted a dog that was pretty chilled out, and by God,
you got that. Yeah. You want to go for a walk? Nah, not really. We can just hang out, Dad. It's cool.
Everybody at the park was like, "Oh God, your dog's so placid. Like even around other dogs, it doesn't seem to move." It's like, yeah, he's just chilled.
You're gonna be all, let's play fetch. The dog's just gonna be like, yeah, no, you play fetch. I'm just gonna hang out.
Yeah, you fetch, bitch. He's not doing that at all. I've also had my brother around this week, and I don't know how we ended up getting into this conversation, but I mentioned cock cages, right?
Right. What exactly is this? Because I just gotta say. This paints a different picture.
I don't know how we got into it. I can't remember. I really can't remember. I bet Mike wouldn't even remember. Anyway, I think we were just talking about. We were talking about transgenders, I think, and we were on about. The challenges that they've got to go through, or whatever. And I mentioned cock cages anyway. And he was like, "What's that?" I was like, "You don't want a cock cages." So I felt like I had to. It was like one of those talks that your dad has to, your dad has to give to yourself when you're about 13. And I had to go through this little talk to him about cock cages. He didn't know a single thing about it. He didn't know they existed. He didn't know you can get them in different sizes.
I'm innocent. With a banana hanging from a... What is a cock cage?
I don't either. I don't understand this.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Just Google them.
I think maybe a condom. That's what kind of comes to mind at first.
No. It's like a chastity thing. It's like... It's a cage for a penis. Anyway.
Why were you looking into this again? Sorry,
Sorry,
we were just
you were discussing this with your dad.
No, my brother.
Your brother? What? You're both married now. Why? Did Mike do something bad? Did you do something bad? Why are you being penalized? Why are you locking your cocks up?
Well, no, we didn't at all. We just fell into this conversation about something. I can't remember what it was. I think it was transgenders and some transgenders use cock cages for cisification and gender enhancement. I think it was something like that. Anyway, my brother didn't know a thing about it.
In this cage, does it have a little wheel? You know, a hamster? You know, the cage.
I also want to take a step back.
Exercise. Oh my God.
Pete, you said. you said no, your brother. You hold on, Pete. You said your brother did not know anything about this, correct?
Correct.
How did you know anything about this?
I listen to a lot of like podcasts about sexual health and sex, and I listen to like loads and loads of different types of podcasts.
I would like to stipulate, cock cages is not sexually healthy.
No. It doesn't necessarily need to be healthy.
Your brother will be sleeping in my house in 2 weeks' time.
He's gonna bite you, one of me.
He brings the cock cage. I'm gonna come over there and strangle your ginger pubes. Seriously, I'm gonna cut them off and make you eat them. Jesus.
I'll shave, Robin. I'm really sorry. So you can't even do that.
I know you keep on sending me the clippings. Would you stop it? I don't even start. Sorry, I was doing other stuff, and then all of a sudden we're talking about cock cages. What? How did that even start?
Welcome to the video game podcast. It's ace, isn't it? This, I love this show. I love you people. Have you honestly never heard of like a cock cage?
I've heard of chastity belts. I can honestly say I have.
Just Google it. Put it on your phone now.
On Amazon about Remy C-O-C-K cage. I am design by Flucast W-I-H high grade Mary.
Alexa, stop.
Easy say.
Yeah. It's not a cack cage for the record.
Oh dear!
Listen, I'll send you an image, right?
But no, don't send us any images, please.
all it basically is just something that encapsulates your penis in, and you can get them in all different various lengths.
It could be three inch,
2 inch, 1 inch, half inch.
Isn't this just like your? It is a condom, and two.
No, it's not.
It's just a metal condom.
It's not a condom at all. It's got holes in, so please don't take Greg's advice and use it as contraception. Jesus Christ.
I don't think anybody is going to take my advice to use this as contraception. Although, I'll be honest, it's probably very effective contraception, because the moment you have that on, she's going to say no.
Anyway, we started talking about cock cages. I'm not talking about lanks this week, Robin. I'm sorry, but you had your fucking thunder last week about lanks.
Yeah. And go talk about legs.
I mean, the sales didn't go up from your fucking picks last week. I've also had my last trim of the year, I think, outside in my garden.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
This is all conversation. Oh, my God.
Hey, listen, I'm all down for talking openly about sexual stuff and whatever, but no, this trim was just about the garden and the grass being cut. So, that was done today.
That's usually about every other week on my end. I just trim it up nicely. You know,
yeah.
Got to make sure the bushes don't get over the hedge.
No. So, you know, I'm all done, I think.
I love you, Pete. I love you. Robin, please follow that up.
So one of the little boys that we have here,
little boys,
yeah, he is meant to get off at school at the bus stop, but there's this thing that they go to the bus station and there's a shop there and all the cool kids go there. What I mean by the cool kids is the rough kids that lead other kids astray. And of course, my dad has allegedly been brewing in this fight with another cool kid. So at 9 a.m. on Wednesday morning, my little young lad gets into a lovely fight at the bus station.
Ooh.
And you can imagine all the kids cheering around him and all of this sort of stuff. And so this young fella, let's just call him T. T is very literal. Oh, my God, it's a cock cage. What is he doing?
I don't know. Anyway, he's adjusting his camera, I think.
Okay. Wow. Was that your cock cage?
No. Anyway, I'll send you a picture of one just to shut you up.
So it was done. The fight was complete. Okay.
Okay.
And, And T is a very literal young man. So if you tell him to put his head in the fire, it's very likely he would put his head in the fire. He's did that sort of guy.
Did he win?
See, Charlie asked me that, and I said, Charlie, that is the wrong question to be asking me right now.
I know, but did he?
So he went into school.
We are not going to answer that.
He immediately, at the start of school, goes, sir, I had a fight this morning at the bus station.
Well, he admits to it.
He totally won, that's why.
He didn't just admit to it. He fucking broadcast it to the headmaster, to the school lectures. So I got a message from Judith while I'm in away on business. Of course, I'm 300 miles away. And a message to say that she has to call the headmaster. And this is his first year. He is a, was it now, what do you call it? He's not middle P7. School. He's first year now, so year eight, whatever it is.
Seven, yeah.
He hasn't even lasted September, and he was suspended for 2 days.
Did we talk to him about self-admission yet, Robin? This is an important conversation to have. Because honestly, his criminal life is pretty much done if this is the way he's going to handle this in the future.
Oh, it gets worse. Don't worry, it gets worse. So, yes, we're annoyed at that, and we're annoyed at him getting into a fight. One, he got off the bus at the place that he shouldn't have got off the place, and then he then got into a fight, and then seemingly this has been brewing for several days or weeks, and he's been egged on to get into a fight. And of course, gullible as he is, has done this. So then we come home, we find this all out. Of course, on Thursday and on Friday, we meet him get into his school uniform and do his schoolwork instead of sitting in front of the TV. His phone and gadgets have all been removed from him. But of course, when we get his phone and we look at it, because he got a hold of it not last night, the night before, and we looked through, and there's messages there to the WhatsApp group to say, is your mom still mad? I says, yeah, she's running around with a knife, is what he replied. Now, in a normal family circumstance, that would be okay, right? Yeah, right. Maybe. Yeah, she, off-the-cuff remark. In a frustrating household, when that sort of statement is made, we have to report that. If it then goes to the level that he is saying this, then there's a full investigation, including the police, social services, and everything. And if there's even the slightest suspicion, all the kids get removed. And that statement alone is enough for that. This is worse than the fight. This is worse than everything. And he's going, but I have taken my iPad away. I'm not allowed to play Xbox. So, that was a challenging end of the week. And then we had Jasmine puking everywhere and all the other classic stuff. But apart from that, I was in the most comfortable shoes all week long. It was wonderful. My Lanx, L-A-N-X, were brilliant. I love them. They're comfy. They're cool. And I've ordered another pair.
Nice.
Anyway, so I was away on business this week. And
Can I just throw this out there? Probably one of the best times to have ever actually had a business trip was this past week for you, not having to be on the front lines for all of what went down.
Yeah,
well timed.
Okay. So my Auric Atmos arrived. Here it is. This is an Auric Atmos. Look at that lovely little beastie there. Proper keyboard. Mark, ooh, jealous. So lovely original box, tons of software, all the bits and pieces. And this week's purchases, I have purchased an. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's an Auric?
It's a computer.
Oh.
48K computer.
You did, Roy. Greg, I'll tell you that. He didn't know what a cock cage is, and he didn't know what an Auric is.
Auric, I think, is very much a UK kind of brand. Definitely not have that in the States.
They released a model before this, which had like crappy keyboards. This is an
Was this kind of equivalent to a Commodore 64 by chance?
No. But about that time, this is a speaker. If this was plugged in and I type ZAP, zap, it went zap.
Zap.
It would, so it was a lovely little computer. They sold about 200,000 units, and that's it. That's
right,
it.
Big mover.
It's just a lovely, lovely little piece of kit. I bought a Amstrad today, Pete. A CPC 6128 with the disk drive.
Ooh, I've never seen one of those.
Yeah, So I bought one of those. That's kind of cool. So just to finish off that, the Atmos Retro Shed, Barry Retro Shed has a whole, he's a big podcast, big website, big following. He restores these sorts of things. And this is who I bought this off. And it's came perfectly restored and gorgeous, and it'll be on display, but it'll be loved and kept for my kids further on down the line.
So you know your Amstrad, is that like your 3.5 mil discs
They're about the length of your thumb, finger. They're hard discs. But they were longer. They weren't the standard floppy. They were like a third longer, like a little slate.
Have you got any games?
There's some with it. So
if you type in zap, apparently it makes a sound.
Yes. Yeah, so no. Well, this will be here later on, sometime this week in life. So I can't wait for that.
That's
kind of cool.
So I mean, Robin, your man cave, by the way, is turning into a bit of a museum. I love it. Want to say love that.
Yeah, I've been trying to think about a way. There's stuff going on through my head at the moment about what to do more. I'm running out of space. Well, behind me here, it's like, there was that new corner there. Right. For people that are watching right now, there's a corner with a couple of shelves. It's all LED lit, and I've got lots and lots of really old consoles and bits and pieces on it. And then I have the original stuff behind me here. And I'm the last couple of days going, I really would love a way to set up something like four Xbox Ones or four Xbox, even 360s, or Street Fighter on a big screen with double joysticks. You know, I would like, so when there's maybe four people here, we could do a little mini LAN. Even an four Xbox 360s with Modern Warfare 2 would be great fun, in a mini LAN, and then Street Fighter and stuff like that there. And I'm trying to think of
space for that though, wouldn't you? Have you got enough space for four seats there?
He does. Yeah. He has a couch up for hands. Yeah. Have you not seen that?
What I was thinking about doing is I don't use the big 1080p projector any longer in the house. So if it was doing it with four Xbox 360s and need four screens, I could probably do that with four, maybe 27-inch screens. But I'm trying to work out if I turn the handy seat round here and I'm pointing at the display shelves, I can have the four screens there or the big drop-down projector screen. So, and that's why there's Donkey Kong running in the background now, and that was part of it as well, to have a separate area for old classic stuff as well. This lovely little console is my 8-bit Do, which I won at the Veteran Gamers Extra Life auction thing that your brother done a couple of years back, and I bid for that during that time, and it's just stuffed with every emulator as well. So the easy solution then is to get just another one of these controllers or a couple of these and have Street Fighter competitions that way. Would be an easy way to do it as well. So I'm thinking about that.
I need to rematch your Charlie on Street Fighter. Tell him I'm coming.
Do you know what? I work out here, but I've just taken this wee urge again to improve it and make it better. And so that's kind of cool. I'm enjoying that. Good news. I watched Kate at Greg's recommendation. Yes.
Yeah.
Kate's quite a good thing, quite a good flick.
Yeah, surprisingly good.
Woody Harrelson. He'll always be in Cheers.
It's on Netflix, for those that are wondering.
He's doing quite a lot of the minutes, isn't he, Woody Harrelson?
He's done a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
This
movie, by the way, very John Wick-like.
Yeah, John Wick in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, surprisingly good. Surprisingly, I mean, it is violent. I was not expecting it to be that level of gore, for lack of a better way to put it. But
it's fun. Moments. There's some funny bits in it. Yeah. It's dark, but it's good. It was good, and they ended it the right way, kind of thing as well. You know, they ended
agreed.
It. Agreed. No spoilers, but they could have ended it another way, which would be the normal way for action movies. But you know, anyway, and finally. I will say that the old fella out there in America, seemingly some of his nannies have allowed him to open up flights to America again. So my decision to book flights in February of this year to Florida for Christmas, Charlie, I hope you're not listening because you don't know about it, it seems to be paying off, and Judith and I are now getting excited. Kirst, the kids don't know. Charlie doesn't know. We're whizzing around trying to get passports updated now and all the other bits and pieces we need to do. And we fly out on the day of Charlie's 16th birthday, and that's his birthday present sort of thing. So the idea is that we kick him out of bed because we're flying out of Dublin. I think it's a 2 o'clock flight. So, about 8 o'clock in the morning, we'll have to leave. So, we'll be kicking him out of bed and he'll be grumpy, but we're going to do our best to try and pack a couple of cases, pack lightly, buy everything we need out there, and kick all the kids out of bed, throw them into the car. And happy birthday, Charlie. Happy Christmas, boys.
There you go. So, that's Florida. Okay, nice.
So that's the plan. We have the beautiful, beautiful house all sorted. We had that booked way, way back. So now, we're starting to go, what do we do? What do we plan? Looking at different things like what's on this year. There's stuff on. I would love to, again, car racing. I've never been up to Sebring, which is pretty close to in Florida, the big track up racing track up there. There is stuff on. There's an endurance race on there. I would like to go and do that. I don't think there's any launches around that time rocket wise. I'd love to see
a live launch.
And sports wise, though, sort of the week before and after Christmas really isn't a lot on, really. Maybe. Is it Boxing Day or what day after Christmas Day?
After Christmas, there will be football. There definitely will be football happening. In fact, you'll be kind of into that playoff stretch, so it'll definitely it should be happening right around then.
Yeah. So sorry. So to continue and close out the story about the aliens, Colonial Marines, one of the best games ever made.
Horrible game ever made. Yeah.
And I had this wonderful T-shirt that I got with the collector's edition of Aliens Colonial Marines.
Best thing that ever came from that game.
Judith had pointed out that I had to get rid of it because... sorry, I've just seen some of the Twitch comments. Damn it. You're a fucking cockage. How many lengths to cockage? Anyway, there was holes in it. It was getting a bit shabby. So I went on to eBay and I ordered a brand new Aliens Colonial Marines T-shirt in large.
Nice. Jesus.
It's arrived. It was £21.99 plus postage. So it's a £25 large T-shirt.
I bet it doesn't fit you now, though, because you've lost all that weight.
It might not. It's a medium. So Phil's idea of framing the T-shirt may be the thing. Okay. Yeah. I don't know, because, this is rare. I mean, for people who love Aliens, Colonial Marines, this is it. This is the thing.
What would you demote though in your room? Because you've got lots of pictures up there. And what's that big one at the back?
There's
a big picture at the back there. I don't know what that is. There's a big
cartoon.
Frame.
The cartoon.
It's like under your the middle light on your pool table.
Fallout. There's Fallout, good boy, and then there's the Rapture one from BioShock.
You could probably replace that.
Yeah, I'm going to juggle some of these around a bit. There's lots of lovely stuff here. So I've had a busy week. I've got another busy week ahead. Life is good. I've keep on losing weight. I'm eating healthily. I'm exercising pretty much every day. So I'm feeling good. And I've still got another 14 pounds to go in American. So right. another stone to go to get to right. where I want to be. So, but
Robin,
yeah,
can I just ask a question just for reference? What how much is your pair of lengths? 100 and what?
160 odd pounds, I think it was.
Right.
But okay, so that's an exceptional shoe. So
that's 10 cock cages. Then I'll just mention that's a large term.
We will now price everything out in cock cages. That's 10 cock cages. Your shirt was 2.5 cock cages.
And, the nice thing about losing a bit of weight is I'm wearing a shirt there that I haven't been able to wear in a year or so. And I'm wearing jeans today that I haven't been able to wear in a long, long time. So it's lovely. You know, those flares, oh, they'll come back in again. I know it.
You got some chaps as well.
Chaps. Don't even go there. I've already this episode is called The Gay Affair. Now, that means we're happy boys, but whatever. Yes.
Yep.
Cheers. Pete,
real quickly, before we continue on with story time, let's give a quick shout out to the chat, if you would be so kind.
Well, we've got Lord in there who's been very, very active at the moment.
Good lad.
He's sweating.
He's
in a lather at the moment.
Lord's in there. Casino, thanks. Murphy's Law and Yampy Yed, whoever those folk are. But yeah, Lord's definitely in on there. I haven't seen Boomer this week.
Love you.
Must be on a vacation. Anyway.
There she is. How did she come in?
I have two doors in my office. One here.
There's a door back there.
And that's a closet.
That's a top. We've never seen that door over there.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a top secret door.
It is the secret entrance. Technically, it's a double door.
Wow.
All right. Okay, well.
That's your rear entrance, the way you get into the rear then.
It is. You need to keep the rear entrance free of clutter. Mm.
Speaking of clutter, what's on your floor there behind you?
Oh, God, all kinds of shit. I mean, literally. So that right there is some different door jam stuff. I've got a monitor on the ground because I replaced my old monitor. I was going to try and sell this one. Over here, which you can't see, I have a whole bunch of heat shields for my barbecue that I'm going to replace out. I also have some Loctite for...
Wow, you want to stick somebody on a board and hang them from a helicopter?
Pretty much.
By the way, I didn't buy the Gears gun.
You did not?
Oh.
There's a Gears gun on my local Facebook marketplace at the moment, and the guy wants £250 for it. Now, Greg, did yours cost that sort of money? Was it $300?
Right there.
That's a lot of work. Surely to God, it's got to cost that.
So that Gears gun, it cost me, I want to say, $250. Now, when I bought it, it had the stupid orange tip, but I actually painted that. I spray painted a gunmetal gray, and then I did a little bit of airbrushing onto it to make it look like a flash fire from a muzzle. So it has a very authentic look to it now, which I love.
Yeah, but it's not pristine any longer. You touched it. And
I did. Yes, I did touch it.
Yeah, okay. Well, no, I just can't get my head around £250 for it. I just can't.
Just pay the
price. After all the stupid purchases you've done on Amazon, you don't want to pay for that. That's ridiculous. I don't buy that.
Although the burrito blanket was...
Yeah.
It was. Softest blanket I've ever had. All right. Real quickly, just to kind of round out things. Obviously, we talked about Kate. High recommendation. Go watch that. If you're in the mood for a good action flick and you just want something that's kind of John Wick-like, it will surprise you in a very good way. When it first started up, I was a bit leery because I'll be honest – you know, there's been a lot of, this is going to sound totally sexist, but there's been a lot of these female protagonist movies that have been coming up where they want to make them the heroes and they just don't feel like authentic or they don't feel believable. A perfect example for that is there's a television show called The Equalizer that used to be in the 80s and 90s. It was fantastic.
Edward Wood.
And they, they brought Queen Latifah back to play the role of the, and it just, I'm sorry, this woman cannot pull off the bullshit that they allege she does. So when I see this movie, I instantly thought, oh great, are we going to get that? But the stunt work, the actress, and the director, quite honestly, do magical work in this movie. And make her feel very believable. What she pulls off, absolutely, I bought into. So, Kate, highly recommend.
I would say, if you're trying to picture what this character's like, Pete, don't send me photographs of cock rings. Cock cages. God almighty. I can never get that vision out of my head. Can you imagine, this character could have been Trinity from The Matrix?
Yeah.
Kinda younger,
very much so.
Younger, maybe younger Trinity. Is that sort of, if you picture, that's sort of badassery.
But I think Trinity, but then with the brutality of John Wick.
Yes.
Yeah. And when I say brutality, not just inflicting it, but taking the punishment too. It just you feel like you are exhausted watching her go through some of this stuff. So anyway, great movie. Also, I've refired up Alita Battle Angel. If you have never seen this movie, it is a mix of animation and real, full motion video. Really well done. So as you watch it, you're going to find yourself like, I constantly was looking for it. Okay, well, where is the animated characters and where are the real characters? Because they blended it so very well. Another good movie about a female protagonist, but done in a very good way from my perspective, that was believable to the setting and the story. And then lastly, I am getting ready for, of course, our own super spreader event. Robin is going to be going to Florida in December. I am going to set the stage for you, Robin. We are going
Judith
to Florida.
Judith is pissed off with you. Judith is pissed off with you right now.
We couldn't hold off for Christmas time, and we had already set the wheels in motion. But we are going this week. We leave on Thursday for Florida. We will be out in Disneyland, well, Disney World, and then Universal. Those are kind of our prime locations we're going to. We'll be there for about a week. So I will not be on the show next week, but should be back after that.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You just go and do what you bloody want, you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Don't have a ball. Have a ball.
Hey, I got my shot. Fuck off. I did my job. Anyway, we're going out. We're going to go ride roller coasters. So here's the funny thing, the not so funny thing, because my son has special needs. He won't wear a mask. Now, of course, in the U.S., they mandate wear masks on flights.
That's federal law. Okay. All
right. So we had to get permission from the airline, a medical clearance for him, and then we have to get him COVID tested for both flights, both going out and coming back, before he can get on the plane without wearing a mask. Yeah.
So have you not got any like laws for people that are exempt from it then? They could just wear a lanyard or anything like
that. So he is exempt from it, but he has to get a COVID test. They're making him get a COVID test in order to be exempt from it. Otherwise, we'd have to try and force him to wear a mask, which would be like trying to fight an unruly bulldog the entire time.
I'm sorry, Greg. I mean, you're a child. You may get all that. Jesus, don't want to be negative. You get all that stuff, but it's the local crew that you'll probably have to fight with.
Oh, yeah. I will have all my paperwork with me and documentation with me for sure. I will not play that game.
Well, at the moment, the rules are for us to come out to you guys is that we have to be double vaccinated, and we have to have a PCR, was it PCR test, at least 72 hours before coming your way.
Precisely what we have to do for him. So we'll Cindy and I will be wearing our masks, but Colin obviously won't, so we have to do the PCR test for him. So he gets that done on Monday for the flight.
Once you get the flight, you'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. So my real worry is the leg out, not so much the leg back. But there's testing centers all over the place in Florida too that you can go get it done. It's kind of become a thing. They know people need to get tested for travel. So
unless you're in unless you're Candice Owens, but that's a different matter.
You know, Yeah. Anyway, so excited though. Excited for that.
Brilliant. I'm excited for you.
Hey, things to know, Robin, when you do book your trip, if you are going to go to Disney World or Universal.
Nope. Yes.
Universal, I think, are going to require you to make your reservation for the days you want to be at the park. So if you're getting multiple day tickets, you'll have to basically designate the parks you're going to if you're going to multiple. Disney World does that for sure. Disney, Universal.
Well, maybe have a conversation afterwards because Disney is turned into a bit of nightmare this year. Their ticketing system and paying for individual rides now as well, which is kind of crazy.
I'm excited because Universal, we're going there the night that their Halloween Fest opens up.
Oh,
so the Halloween Fest. I never heard of this. It's from 9 p.m. until 2 a.m. They turn the park into basically a big haunted house, for lack of a better way to put it.
Yep.
Very adult oriented, not kid friendly like Disneyland does. And I am all about that. And Colin won't care. Colin doesn't get freaked out by anything. So we're golden with this, and we are excited for it.
As much as video games and politics and stuff like that, I constantly am watching videos about Florida and especially Universal Studios. And I watch like weekly updates of what's changed and what's happening for years now. People like Tim Tracker and, you know, it changed the paint in this part of the park. At that level, it's either more flower pots over there. Now when you're going back, you've got that, which is fabulous. You're going to have the Velocicoaster, which just opened a few months ago, one of the fastest coaster in Universal, like a Jurassic Park one. I don't know if you'd been on Hagrid's Motorcycles.
I've never been to Universal. Florida. So
one of my favorite rides, the Hulk, is there. It's been revamped since I've been there last. It's been rebuilt again.
So fun fact, by the way, about Hulk and Marvel. So east of the Mississippi, Universal Parks have the Marvel license. West of the Mississippi, Disney has and now has Marvel rights. That's why in Disneyland in Los Angeles, you have the Marvel Avengers campus. But in Disneyland, Florida, there's no Marvel anywhere. Crazy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's all in Universal.
Because the Spider-Man ride in Universal is really good, too.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it's good. And there's a whole
Spider-Man ride in California is shit. There.
Huh. Yeah, okay. There's one tip. Sorry, we'll get to video games. Fast and Furious, avoid.
Fair enough. I probably would have anyway. I will avoid it for sure.
Oh, my God, you're going into Harry Potter land and that thing is for the first time. It's just, I'm so jealous of you. Just wow. And you've got Skull, the King Kong ride, which opened 3 years ago as well. You've got all, oh, wow. Oh,
I'm excited. God, I
can't wait for Christmas. Can't wait.
I am excited. Martin in the chat says the Bongo Coaster, what a ride. Indeed. Many a woman has said that.
Right.
All right. Let's dive into video games. Come on. Let's talk.
Run and run.
Said if you're going to play the Game Boy, you got to learn to play it right.
Yep.
Pete.
Yes. Pete,
let's talk video games. We don't really have an updated list of games with gold for PlayStation Plus, et cetera, for October. So we're going to bypass that. We'll save that for next week. Because we're still in technically September, so let's talk about what we have been playing. What have you been playing, Pete Chen?
I've only been playing Ratchet and Clank this week. Ratchet and Clank: A Drift Apart, and that's on the PS5. So I think I've mentioned this before, but it's a third-person action platformer. Really, it's like playing a movie. It's so slick. Brilliant storyline, I think. I think the graphics are great. I can't argue about the actual gameplay at all. I think it's really, really smart. I think the tutorial part of it plays into all of the game. It doesn't really leave you to it. It guides you all the way through your game. So if you've not played it like I did, I didn't play it for about 2 months, and I got back into the game and picked it up again, and you know, I didn't have any problems with the controls and stuff, even though I forgot some of the story. So I had to I had to go back and read upon that. But it's a really, really good game, even though it's like a PEGI 7. I was expecting it to be a bit childlike, but it's really, really good. It's really cute.
I find Insomniac games in the Ratchet & Clank series to be very Pixar-esque, like a Pixar movie.
Yeah.
They have adult humor in them, you know, and they're just fantastic visual affairs. I would say this. I think Insomniac, one, probably one of the best studio purchases in terms of value for money. If you think about how much they paid to get Insomniac, I think they paid like $260 million, something like that. I mean, that studio is paying off in spades for them right now. It literally is all of their output, if you think about it.
Yeah.
I was blown away by the game. I just thought it was great. And have they done the Spider-Man Morales and
They've done the Spider-Man series. They've done Ratchet and Clank.
It's a real good game, and I completed it like just before the podcast, and everything about it, just from start to finish, has been an absolute delight. I've really enjoyed it. Yeah,
it looks fabulous on the screen now, and it just looks fabulous. It's yummy.
It's just slick. It's just so good. I think the only thing that's janky about it is when you want to try and buy weapons. And the only thing about it is you have to approach the person who sells the weapons in a certain way. You have to be directly in front of her and press triangle. Wow. You know, you can't be at any other direction. Apart from that, right, the rest of the game for controls and buttons and, you know, you just have these things that really annoy you. And that was the only thing that, and I'm being like super picky, like the whole game was just fantastic. There was a part towards the end of the game where you were given the choice whether you want to continue collecting the collectibles and carry on doing the side missions before you go on to the last part of the story. So that's a good thing as well, that it doesn't just go straight into the end game and, where you can't go back. So I didn't choose to go down that route. I could see why a lot of people would, but I just wanted to complete the game because I haven't got much time really to invest into that, and I just wanted to get the story out of the way, and it was just like playing a Pixar movie. Fantastic. But I put it on eBay now. It's ready to go because Mark hasn't got a CD drive on his PS5. He's only got a digital edition. Yes.
He went the digital inferior vision.
So otherwise I would have sent him that. I'm not going to send it Robin because I won't see it for another 12 years. You've not got a PS5, have you, Robin?
No.
I would send it to you, really. I'm only joking.
I was in Smith's Toys, getting a boost, another booster seat for another friggin' Rugrat the other day, and I've seen all the boxes up on the wall, and yeah, none in stock. If there had been one in stock, I might have actually would have went, just get one. They're still not free.
Denied.
It was really good. It was kind of, like I said before last week, it was a bit like Mass Effect, where you can just go to different, not galaxies as such, but planets. Right. And you can do a lot of side missions. You can go into different warp zones, and some of it can feel very open world, and there's a lot going on, really. Within the maps that you go into in each of the planets that you visit. But I kind of didn't invest into all of the side stuff. I bet you could spend loads of time in it. And it's not difficult at all. Don't get me wrong. I'll say that some of the bosses were. I was dying a few times on some of the bosses, but it kind of resets in your last checkpoint. Even you don't have to play. It's not like, you know, with some games where it's really unforgiving and you've just got to play the last checkpoint, you've got to kill some bad guys before you get to the boss. It's not like that at all. If you've reached like a 75% or 50% health mark where you've knocked down a certain percentage of your bosses health level, it resets to that. So when you restart it, you've kind of like, you are given, and all your weapons are reset, you've got all your ammo, so you are given that luxury of going at the boss then half beaten with full ammo. So I suppose it is easy in that sense, but you know, some of it is pretty tough. I like it. It's well worth investing in. I don't know how much it fetches now, but it was like £70 retail.
Yeah, it still is.
Is it really?
Yeah. I could be wrong. It may be cheaper now. I should not say that. Yeah.
On eBay, you could pick up a secondhand copy for about £35-40. So, right. I'm really not too fussed about what I sell it for. I'll just pop it on there with like a 99 pence.
Yeah, I mean, you did auction. Play the game. You got your value.
Yeah, exactly that. I enjoyed it. It's good.
Okay.
So yeah, all I've played this week, to be honest. I just thought I'd play that game today. Yeah, well, I suppose it is. Yeah, I don't know how many hours exactly I've stuck into it. The achievements are pretty easy. Yeah, you get quite a lot during the gameplay. I didn't strive to get any specific things. I just carried on playing it, and I think I got about 60% of the achievements that are in the game. So, I didn't even really try for it. So, I used to be a bit of an achievement whore when it comes to like Gears of War and stuff like that. But I don't really bother as much now.
Careful, you might have to turn in your Sony card if you keep saying that. It's trophies, Pete. Trophies.
Oh, yeah, well. Tomato, tomato stuff.
All right, cool.
Yeah, but that's. I thought I'd play that today because otherwise I'd have nothing to talk about at all. So there we go.
No, good, okay, good stuff. Awesome, Robin.
Yeah,
talk to me.
Okay, well, I've been playing lots of old stuff at the moment. So old, like Donkey Kong in the background and Galaxian and a lot of old stuff. With my exercise, are you still using a lot of VR, and yes, the Fit. I usually generally start with Beat Saber do a track or two in Beat Saber to warm up because I injured my back before, and
right.
I think that was really because I got straight into punching and twisting without warming up properly. So I do a bit of Beat Saber to start, and then I get into Fit XR, and it's kind of cool, and it is very cool. It's hard work, and it's good. I'm enjoying it. But after that, a couple of them, I've went back to Pistol Whip. I'm going to put some Pistol Whip on the screen. And Pistol Whip is friggin' awesome.
The soundtrack's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. You've played this, Pete, haven't you?
Yeah.
You played Pistol Whip. So Pistol Whip is a shooting game in VR. And there's lots of different scenarios in it, but they're all similar enough. You're sort of on a... It's if you're walking, but you're on a sort of a conveyor belt. You can step left and right to get around pillars that are coming towards you. And guys or girls pop out from the screen, left, right, from the front of you, and you have to shoot them. And you've got either single gun or dual wielding, as it is on the screen right now. And you sort of flick the guns to reload them. And it's very artistically styled. And the soundtrack is just bumping. It's really good. When they shoot at you, it's like bullet time in The Matrix, where the bullets come slowish to you and you can duck out of the way. You can, as the name of the game says, pistol whip. You can pistol whip people out of the way if you get close enough to them. And there are just so many modes. And it's been a few months since I've played it, and there's a whole pile more of updates to it. There's loads and loads of value with this game. Not overly dear. There is a story mode and story to play, but it's in. I mean, you're looking at this now, going, "Oh, that looks crap." But when you, it's when you're,
it's kind of super hot, like.
But when you stick that headset on, you're submerged into those type of games. It's brilliant.
Okay.
It is just so atmospheric, so cool. You feel like a badass. Each level's probably just a couple of minutes into it, there's like zombie ones and all sorts of stuff, but really, really cool. So there are some good games on VR, you know, just fitness stuff and Beat Saber and that sort of rhythm game, but this sort of thing is really cool. And you mentioned Super Hot. I gotta say, Super Hot's one of the best games that I've came across on VR.
Yeah, and I mean, it's always been very highly physical. Rated for VR. So,
and physical. Right. I mean, the really nice thing about Super Hot is because it's generally white, black, and red. Those are the colors, and there's not graphically it looks as good as it did when we were playing it on the Xbox or your computer, but then it adds this whole component of I find myself throwing myself to the floor. Ha ha! You know, just trying to get, it's so fizzy. It's a workout playing Super Hot. So
yeah,
anyway, the thing I love about that Quest device is when you switch it on, you're in. You're not, there's no frigging about with cables or right. Or extra connections for networks. You're just straight in, away you go. And
being self-contained is hugely important. And I mean, I will just go back and double down saying I think that for the future of VR, it has to be self-contained, no fluffing about with extra cameras or pods to keep you in a zone. You just need the device on you to work the way it should.
Absolutely.
So,
and when I log in, I mean, there's Chris MJW is one of the people that plays a lot. You've got Stuart Fowler from Veteran Gamers is there. I mean, lots of the same people that were playing months and months ago. They're still at it, and whether it be, and even Mike Chen as well with poker. I think Stu Fowler, there is a really, really good mixing.
A lot of mixing. Yeah, he does a lot of music mixing.
So there's a thing called Tribe XLR or whatever it is, and it's a really, really good mixing. I bought it. I have no frigging idea how to use all that stuff. Yeah. So it's kind of cool. But so that's kind of me. So I'm amazed I've actually got some gaming in this week. Not the traditional sit down with my Xbox stuff, but still, yeah.
Are you traveling with the Quest? Is the Quest coming with you when you travel?
No, I didn't. I went again this week. I got a nice 4-star hotel with a spa and a pool and a gym. Now, the weird thing about that is I was deep in the south of Ireland. They have their own television. Now, I know in northern Mexico you think we're part of Ireland up here, but northern Ireland was more like England, Scotland, Wales. Our TV and our roads and our little customs, we're more English, British up in Northern Ireland.
Right.
In the south of Ireland, it's very south of Ireland. It's very, yeah. To be sure, it really is paddy land, okay?
Okay.
So I spend 20 minutes on the treadmill, and then I go to the cross trainer. So the treadmill was like, all of the cross trainers were in the front row.
Right.
So there was about 8 of them, and they were right in front of the screens. TV screens, screen in front of each one. And then there was the treadmills behind, and then the weights, and there's rows of stuff. So I do my 20 minutes on the treadmill, racing this guy beside me. And then I go on to the cross trainer. And of course, I'm right in front of this TV and I can't change the channel. And it's harvest week. So they've got all these special farming programs on.
Right.
So I get on thing and the subtitles are on and I go on, let's see, cross trainer. And it's all about tractors and farming and tractor festivals where they try to get as many tractors in a field at one time, all working at one go, and the history of tractors and the history. Oh, friggin' hell. I can't see it's subtitles. I can't stop reading the subtitles. I don't want to know about the tractors, but the subtitles are there and I have to read them even though I don't want to. Anyway, so to answer your question, no, I didn't bring my VR headset with me.
Maybe, just maybe, you do that for the next time you hit the road. As a backup, if nothing else, a backup plan so you don't have to read about farming machinery. Okay. Well, it's been a...
I'm interesting to hear what you're going to talk about now. So.
Yeah. So I'll start with the Ascent first. I've been getting back into the Ascent, playing it. Gosh, that game had hit this weird wall for me where... I was trying to play it with a co-op with Spiral Infinity, and we were just testing it out. That was actually kind of an awesome moment, though, because he was playing it in the cloud, and we were playing multiplayer together, co-op in the game, voice chat, everything working. For the most part, there were some hiccups with it, but it took us into this one area. It was part of a mission, and dear God, it was like a meat grinder for us. We just could not get past this area, and they just were throwing everything in the kitchen sink at us. And so finally, I went back into it yesterday, and I smartly realized, I don't have to just walk to where I want to go. I can take a taxi. So I bypassed the meat grinder section and took the taxi to the mission objective and got the mission objective done and have carried on with the storyline. I still really like this game. It is a fun twin stick RPG. That's the best way to describe it. Set in a cyberpunk world. It is visually just very colorful, but just fantastic. It feels weighty with the weapons. And in terms of the RPG elements, they're light. They're not super heavy. There are some decisions you make and some, you know, kind of dialogue stuff that happens, but it doesn't layer too much onto it. And so I just really been enjoying my time with The Ascent. Cool. And I'm also at the stage in this game where the achievements I'm getting that are popping are the rare achievements. Because I think a lot of people haven't gone this far into the game or finished it. And so that's also just a treat because I love the rare achievement sound and the little diamond popping up. And so that's been an added little incentive for me for my achievements. Speaking of achievements, Pete. But anyway, so yeah, The Ascent. Now, let's talk about the big one. Halo Infinite Beta. So I had been invited to the previous beta, and unfortunately, I was not in town for that. And so I missed out on that beta. I was just gutted because I downloaded it, thought I was going to be able to get into it, and turns out I was not going to be around. So I get a second invite for this beta. And this, of course, is a very much a more open beta. So I have it downloaded, fire it up, and Halo is back. I am just impressed. So I really was very skeptical of like the grapple hook, or they call it the grapple shot, I think, in the game, whether or not that was going to be, you know, very useful, transformative for the game. And it adds such a different element. It adds very much a Titanfall element to this game. Because when you are using the grapple shot, you can literally swing around like Spider-Man with this thing. And so the ability to get vertical and traverse the map is just very different now, or can be, using the grapple shot. On top of that, there's a lot of little things, little attention to detail that I think was missing in previous Halo games, and I never really had noticed it. But, you know, and this is going to sound silly, I think, in some respects, but, you know, things like atmospheric sounds. I never really would pay attention to those things. But in this game, you hear things like little rocks falling or birds chirping or items being knocked over. And the footfalls and the grunts of your character as they're moving through the environment. And it just adds this layer of immersion to Halo that was never there before. And
tell me, is it all multiplayer? Is the
beta is a multiplayer beta. However, they have a training ground section, which is another area they've added to Halo they've never had before. And the training area is pretty fantastic. So there's two different modes within the training area. One is a bot mode where you literally can just go in and play against bots, and you can pause at any point in time in the training mode, outfit yourself with different weapons, different gear. You can also change the difficulty of the bots you're playing against. And so it's kind of cool. It starts out with there's recruits, Marines, ODST, and Spartans are the different levels of bots you play. And I will say Marines feels pretty pretty easy. You know, you're not going to be super challenged. Every once in a while, you might be. I put it on ODST, and I immediately felt the difference. Those the bots were much more challenging. We're actually doing tactical things that the previous bots hadn't been. And so that's a great element for you to be able to get practice in. They also have a straight up training grounds where you can take any weapon and test it. And they have basically a firing range where you go up and they have three different types of drills. The first drill is just standard targets where you're shooting at different targets on this firing range. And then the second mode is you're firing at targets that are moving. And then the third mode is, and when I say moving, is they're just moving basically in a straight line. So they're moving left to right on you. And so you're just getting a sense of leading your target with your aiming. The third mode, they're actually actively moving. So they will jump left, right, they'll go behind cover. And so you have 30 seconds within each of these drills to get as many hits as you can. And then it scores you. And that is a ranked leaderboard thing. So there's this added layer there as well. And you can kind of compete against your friends for best leaderboard scores within different weapons on the training ground in different modes. This also is a perfect area to get acquainted with weapons you normally don't use and are not familiar with. So I love that addition to the game. And so far, everything has just felt really good. They have toned down sprint, which was the big, I think, one of the big areas of complaints in Halo 5, which is your characters had this boost sprint ability, which really could allow them, in a sense, to escape very easily from danger with sprint. Now, you do have a sprint, but it is probably like 1.5 speed movement as opposed to doubling your speed movement. So it's harder to escape. And just again, the weapons all feel great. I am very impressed, and visually speaking, it looks good. Textures look great. I'm not noticing anything that feels low res or last gen. So okay. I think and the comments I've been seeing, this compared to Call of Duty. Call of Duty's beta apparently has not been great or received great so far. I guess they had a beta that just went off about a week ago. So I think Halo has a really good chance to kind of recapture some of the limelight. It'll be interesting.
How do you feel about this?
Well, I was just going to ask Greg the question. Obviously, you know, I'm an Halo expert, and being a newbie, Greg, to Halo yourself, how is it for newbies like approaching Halo 5 straight off the bat without playing any other ones? Can you play this game, do you reckon? Is there going to be a good level of tutorial and intro to story? And
I can't say for sure about the story, Pete, because I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with that.
But what you feel?
My gut is this is probably going to be the most accessible Halo they've ever made. That is strictly coming from the fact that they've added this training grounds area that really just allows you to play without fear. You could just play bot matches. You don't have to go up against people at all, and you still are going to be able to have a level of fun and satisfaction.
Because there could be a new generation of people playing this game, couldn't there, all together that have not played
Halo? I absolutely think so. And I think the misfire of Call of Duty this year is going to be huge, not just for Halo, but for Battlefield as well. Yeah. I think Vanguard is going to fall flat on its face.
I love my news, but I didn't know whether this was coming to Game Pass like day one, or is this something that we're going to have to purchase?
So the interesting thing about Halo is the single player game will come to Game Pass day one, but the multiplayer is free to play on PC and on Xbox. Obviously, you know, for Game Pass users, you were going to get it free regardless or included, but it's going to be a free to play mode. And I think that in of itself also has huge implications of just capturing a very large user base.
Yeah. If it's free to play, I think I'm going to jump in answer to your question, Robin. I think I'll jump in and I'll play the game in co-op with a bunch of you if you're up for that. Or I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah,
I'll try.
As part of Game Pass, why would you not?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. It's yeah.
So, the future for Halo is looking very bright right now. Even though they don't have the co-op, even though Firefight or not Firefight. Oh God, I can't think of the map building mode. But you know, those are going to come. They're just not going to be there day one. But I think honestly, what they're putting out there day one is going to be enough to be able to carve out a very good player base, and they'll be able to grow that. So,
Are the environments and stuff a little bit more like realistic? I always find Halo a little bit like simplistic in those.
You know, and that's a really good point. Yeah, it's a good point you bring up, because I think one of the things that I also noticed within Halo, which previous Halos, I never really noticed environmental things that were there that were destructible. Okay. And there was a big hubbub that was made about fruit a few weeks back on the previous beta build that, you know, the fruit, you shot it and it just kind of blew up altogether. Or disappeared altogether. But in the Halo game, I have noticed, or in the beta, I have noticed a lot of destructible things. So items on shelves, you know, beer bottles or whatever that might be in a kitchen setting or a table setting can be shot and destroyed. And you hear all of that. And so that's kind of that atmospheric stuff I was talking about. You hear things hitting the ground and being destroyed. And you didn't really have that stuff in previous Halo games. The environments typically were very... as you kind of said, they were sterile of additional items. It was, you know, you had these very kind of cool looking scientific buildings and hallways, but there wasn't a lot of stuff to run into.
I mean, it doesn't need to be anything that you've got to destroy. I mean, at the end, like Gears of War, I really enjoy the environments of Gears of War because there's things going on. And when you've got your headset on, it is atmospheric that you've got a lot of things, you know, whether it's gunshots or people talking, you've got a lot of things going on around you. And I felt as though, like, I mean, I don't want to be like shitting on Halo because
previous
editions that I've played of it, you know, they're from previous generations. But I'm just hoping that if I want to play this game, I'm going to get Gears of War have given me that straight from Gears of War 2 from the get go, almost, I suppose, that you've got that you've got that build up all around you, and you can almost put yourself into that environment. Whereas I don't think Halo could do that before, and that's what I'm gonna look for. And I know it's like it's really silly, but that's the kind of thing that I like. You know, with Gears of War, with all them things going on around you, I really enjoy that. Or GTA, going on a different type of game. You know, there's all these things going on all around you, and it just carries on. There's, you know, you can follow people around, and they carry on doing their thing. And
I mean, I can't say for the single player game and the open world aspect to the game, because I don't know what that's going to be like. And these maps, I think, from a aesthetic kind of point of view and environment. I think it's going to be a little bit of a blend of, you know, kind of the old Halo in some respects, because a lot of these maps remind me of some of the previous Halo maps, but also very, you know, kind of blending a little bit of Call of Duty. And I will say this, out of the three maps that are in the beta right now, two, Bazaar, and I can't remember the other name of it, but they feel very, they feel like very Call of Duty environments. Like, almost like, you know, being in an Afghanistan village type thing where you're out in a desert type village. There's it doesn't feel spacey. And then there's one environment that is much more like a space lab facility. So I think there's going to be that atmospheric stuff going on. I think you'll get a bit of that. And like I was saying, the additions they've done to the sound design, I think, really help with that. So you're hearing things, you know, a lot more going on around you other than just, you know, the gunfights happening. And I think that was something that was always missing for me in previous Halos. It was, you know, that was one area that they didn't necessarily match up with, say, a Call of Duty. You know, you'd hear the firefights going on, but you didn't have that other stuff happening within the environment to make you just feel like you're in the environment.
In this, so, yeah.
But anyway, I'm very hopeful for Halo at this point, based off of what I've experienced with the beta. They're going to open up Big Team Battle next weekend. So I won't be around for that, unfortunately, but that's where they're going to introduce the vehicles. If you are interested, you can still sign up to it. You just have to go to the Halo Insiders website, I think. You sign up for it to become a Halo Insider, and then you know, it's basically kind of registering and getting accepted in. But they're taking anybody and everybody, from what I understand, in. So they're not, it's not closed off at all. So
you how long's it going on for?
I'm sorry?
How long's this going on for? This
the next one will go on. I think it's just going to be for next weekend. So it'll be from October 1st, I think, through the 3rd.
That's Friday, isn't it? Do you know what? What did you say? You got to log into
Halo Insider. Just look up Halo Insider, or type in Halo Insider beta, and there'll probably be some kind of link for you to find.
All right, I'm off next Friday, so
there we go. Okay. All right. Well, that is me in a nutshell. Done. That's what I've been gaming this past week. So, Robin, if we could, let's talk about some news.
Absolutely.
Here is the fucking news.
The news sound is very spacey.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Nintendo had a Direct this past week. That really is the big news from the week. So I thought we would just talk about that real quickly and go through what was announced. There were some curious things within this. I'm going to actually save the one big element. We'll talk about that last, which is a movie announcement. But from a game perspective, they announced Kirby and the Forgotten Land. I really kind of looked at this, and to me, it was Kirby The Last of Us. Because Kirby is going into what looks like a apocalyptic city, which feels very Last of Us-like. But of course, it's Kirby, so it's cute, cuddly Kirby going into this apocalyptic city environment. It's 3D, which is a big first for Kirby as well. So traditionally, Kirby has always been a side-scrolling 2D game, and this time it's fully 3D. I think it potentially is going to be a huge hit. It looked pretty darn good, I have to say. That was the first big announcement. Nintendo then also made the announcement of the Nintendo Switch Online and Expansion Pass that adds new content, including Nintendo 64 games. We don't know what the pricing on this is yet. They just announced that it's coming, and so they're basically going to expand Switch Online. But it sounds like you're going to have to pay a little bit extra to get to this extra bit. But in fairness, they're only 20, you know, it's only $20 a year for Nintendo Online previously. So, I can't imagine, unless they're going to really charge you an arm and a leg for this, that it's going to be a big deal, in terms of cost, that people are going to get up in arms over that. Let's see. We also had Bayonetta 3 was shown off. Splatoon 3 also shown off. Monster Hunter Rise is getting an expansion pack. And then there was Chocobo GP, which is basically Final Fantasy's Mario Kart. I don't really know what to think of this. It feels just straight up like a Mario Kart ripoff with Chocobos instead of Mario and crew. Animal Crossing New Horizons and Smash Brothers Ultimate are getting their own directs. Now, this was a curious thing, and Nintendo's done this before, but this time they actually did it twice within one Nintendo Direct, where basically they're announcing another Nintendo Direct within a Nintendo Direct. So, you know, they talked about, you know, they're like, oh, we're going to have news about Animal Crossing New Horizon in another Nintendo Direct later on this month.
Okay.
And we're going to announce the last Smash Brothers Ultimate Fighter in another Nintendo Direct later on this month. It's kind of like, okay, maybe don't do that in the future. I don't know. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic also is coming to the Switch, but don't get too excited. It is the old version. But it'll be on the Switch for the first time. So obviously Star Wars and I should say Disney has cut deals to get their Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic game out on other platforms. So we've got it coming to the Switch. And of course, it's now coming for the first time in the updated version to the PlayStation family in terms of that remake. Now, the big news out of this Direct. And to me, this was the biggest news out of all. It was the Mario movie, which we knew was already being made, but they actually had cast members to announce.
Okay.
And so this is coming holiday 2022. And they started off, and this pretty much like broke the internet, but Chris Pratt is playing Mario.
I love Chris Pratt.
I love Chris Pratt too. I don't know about Mario.
I like Anna Taylor-Joy.
It feels like a very odd part for Chris Pratt to play, especially playing Mario. And the reason why it's weird on top of it, well, we'll go through the list of characters, and then you'll understand why I say this is a very odd inclusion of Chris Pratt, because a lot of people are like, well, why not have the guy that plays Mario? I assumed he was not going to be in this movie. But let's get through the list of people. So we have Anna Taylor-Joy as Peach.
Yeah, she's cute.
Charlie Day is playing Luigi. Charlie Day from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Love that.
That looks right.
You know, that does. Totally. Jack Black is playing Bowser.
Yes.
Keegan-Michael Key is going to play Toad. Again, I dig these characters so far, with the exception of Chris Pratt. It's the only one I've had, like, pause. Sir Patrick Stewart is going to play Copa Tropa.
Really? And then
Seth Rogen playing Donkey Kong.
Okay.
And then, so here was the slap in the face moment. So longtime voice actor of Mario, Charles Martinet, will also appear in the movie in various cameos. But he will not play Mario. Instead, Chris Pratt is playing Mario. It left me scratching my head a bit. If you're gonna have him in the movie doing voiceovers, why not have him do Mario?
Star-Lord is Mario.
Star-Lord is Mario, indeed.
Very good.
That was basically the Nintendo Direct all wrapped up in one. I'm excited for the Mario movie. It is an animated feature, by the way. It is not a live-action movie.
Oh, okay. Thank God for that.
Yes. Nice. That would have made Chris Pratt play Mario even weirder.
Yeah. It'll be good fun.
I think it's a good cast all around.
I suppose it's how serious they take it, you know, because our God bless his soul, Bob Hoskins, it was taken all of it a little bit too serious way back then. So.
I mean, I'll say with that cast, I have to think this is going to have a pretty good layer of comedy written into it. Yeah. And what I'm hoping for is maybe, you know, not adult comedy, but comedy for grownups. There's a difference there.
Films nowadays are really good at that, aren't they? As far as animated movies. And
do you mean like Mario in a cock cage? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, Mario in a cock cage, yes. That was it for the news. There really wasn't much else happening. I think Activision is being now investigated by not only California but the federal government, so you know, they've got that going for them. It was a pretty slow news week beyond the Nintendo Direct, but that was the pretty big bombshell. Pete, let's talk about video games coming out next week. Maybe we can have a little music to go with it. It's quite a list.
It is a list. Okay, so new releases between the 26th and October 2nd. Away, the Survival Series, which is on PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, and PC, September 28th. Chernobylite on PS4, Xbox One on September the 28th. Ghost Runner, which is on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, which is released on September 28th. In Sound Mind. Oh, God, I could see Robin touching a keyboard. I don't know. That's going to be bad news, isn't it? That Anyway, In Sound Mind on PS5, Xbox Series X and S and PC September 28th. Kiwi on PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, September 28th. Lemnis Gate, which is on pretty much all of the platforms apart. Oh, no, it's on PC as well. Out on September 28th. Neo, The World Ends With You, which is out on September 28th. New World, just out on PC only, which is out on September 28th as well. Steel Assault, which is available on the Switch and PC, out on the 28th. Insurgency Sandstorm, which is on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, September 29th. Aeon Drive, PlayStation 5, the Xbox Series X and S, and all the others on September the 30th. Astria Ascending, which is on the PS5, Xbox, and, well, pretty much all of them, on September 30th. Darksiders 3, which is only available on the Switch, on September 30th. eFootball 2022, which is on every platform on September 30th. Hot Wheels Unleashed, which is, again, available on all platforms on September 30th. Imposter Factory, which is available on PC, September 30th. What's he laughing at? What's he doing?
I assume he has maybe got you on one of the but it's not obvious. It's not obvious.
Okay. Rogue Lords, which is on the PC, September 30th. The Last Friend, which is on the Switch and PC, September 30th. Unsighted, which is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch and PC on the 30th of September. FIFA 22. People still buying that game, which is pretty much available everywhere on October 1st. And Phoenix Point, which is on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One on October 1st. And that's the end of the list. Robin, what did you get us on?
We were running a 2-minute video on cock cages. Anyway.
I would just like to point out Phoenix Point coming to the consoles is huge. This is the original maker of XCOM and their game. I played it on PC, quite good. So they've done, I guess, a number of refinements. So I'm eager to play that on console and see how that plays. Absolutely a game you will love, Pete. It's chess, I tell you. It's like chess.
Strategy.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for that, Pete. Quite the list. Okay. Robin, before we get into the ongoing victory achieved, quick shout outs to Martin. I saw him jump in. I don't know if anybody else has jumped into the chat or not, but wanted to give him, he's been pretty active there. So give him a quick shout out. We love you, Martin, as we do, Lord, and all of our listeners. So, okay.
I don't think it's Lord recovered from the cock cage. So
no, nobody's recovered from the cock cage. That discussion will go down in podcast history as one of the greatest moments ever.
There's loads of conversations about it. You're just not listening to the different podcasts.
Moving on. I was on Amazon just while you were doing that as well.
Oh, God.
Well, it's your birthday coming up, Greg. So, you know.
You got me a cock cage. You got me a cock cage, didn't you? You son of a bitch.
Anyway,
explain that to the wife.
there are no victory achieves this week. So what victory achieved is when you finish a game, just take a photograph of yourself and send it off to @OC_podcast, and we'll tweet it and put you in a draw to win money.
Yeah,
that's it.
I'll finish the game. I'll finish Ratchet and Clank. I did that.
You didn't post it properly, Pete.
I'm sorry. I know, but I'm staff. I don't even get entered into it anyway.
We need your participation, Pete. You have to be part of the community. Come on.
I'm sorry.
All right. Shout out to Kim and her cats. We do miss her. She put a lovely little note, "Miss you guys," in our notes. So I wanted to just throw that back at her. Also, Kim, Chargers. Sorry. Okay. All right. I think we're kind of at that moment where we can call this a show. It's a fairly short show. That's okay. They happen. But look, we want you to come back next week, because next week I won't be here. Catwoman is going to replace me. So there's that. At least I think she is. Possibly Mark might be here. Robin might be here. The exalted Ginger might be here. There's all number of characters that might be here. Oh. I for sure will not. But
we'll have a chat. Maybe the week after next, when Mr. Chin is here, he'll be taking a break from
Veteran Gate. I think we could do a group call with him. Yeah,
but he might be right beside me here.
I like that idea. Maybe just put him on your lap. Won't be awkward at all.
Yeah, the metal could get caught up.
He is a little tall. Okay. We are on every weekend. Come back next weekend. We'll be here. Same time, same bat channel, all that good stuff. Take part in our Facebook pages. Take part in our Twitter. We are active in the community. We love you all. We want to hear from you. We want to hang out and game more. And that is going to happen as we move into the weeks moving forward. And Extra Life also is happening. Gary DeFleece shot me out a note saying, hey, should I fire up the VG Hub team? And I said, 100% absolutely. I need to get myself signed up into it. And I'm going to do that actually after the podcast today. So I'll have that page up and running. But Extra Life is happening this year. I believe it's November 6th again. So we'll be gaming for charity, doing our thing, and just helping kids have just a little bit easier time when they're dealing with tough things in life. All right. Let's see. Who should I pick on first? Obviously, it's the Mongoose. Pete, let's have a shout out.
Thanks, Greg. I'm going to shout out you two. It's been a good show.
Wait, hold on. Martin, is that the Denver Chargers? Really, Martin? Okay, continue on.
Was not recognized.
Right. So I'm going to shout out you two. All the folk in the chat. Like you said, Martin's in there. Lord was very active to start off until I'll give him the cost conversion of cock cages to lanks. Then he disappeared. I'm going to shout out Alexander Usk.
Oh, yeah, man.
Wow. Wow. What a fight. Yeah. Commonwealth Unified Champion. Sorry, not Commonwealth. Should I say Cruiserweight? No. Yeah. He was an Olympic champion, and he's from the Ukraine, and he's a unified champion in the Cruiserweight division, and he stepped up and fought Anthony Joshua as he worked his way up the rankings, and Anthony Joshua is the heavyweight champion of the world, who's holding three titles, and he kicked the living daylights out of him yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I mean, in my head, by the way, I'm just thinking Drago from
I must crush you.
But it's not even of that stature, isn't it? He's not got his size, you know, he's a small guy.
Just a bulldog.
Mike Tyson was not a tall guy either. He was not a big guy, he was just compact.
Well, yeah,
that sort of build. Anthony Josh is this good-looking guy, great for commercials, has been in lots of commercials, well-spoken and all that. And this wee guy came on and he just wanted to win. And, it was great. I watched it live last night too. That was the perks of my son in the business with DAZN. So that was kind of cool. That was my first thing that I watched. Because it was £30 to watch the match.
Well, yeah. I did say there was two big things about that fight that would probably make Anthony Joshua feel it, and that was he would fight a cruiserweight fight, which he did. He tried to punch down at his level. He didn't fight heavyweight. He tried to be fast. He tried to be calculated. There's no way you can fight like him. And the other thing he did was he didn't train to fight a left-handed fighter, and you could completely see that straight away through the fight. Shout out to that guy, man. He owned
that was the challenge of Clubber Lane. You remember Rocky III?
Oh, Rocket's right.
Okay.
Yeah, let me just bring all of the real world stuff. Come on.
You know, I was watching it live on the chat with that Taff man was putting in all the comments in the chat last night. And I was like, at the beginning, I thought, yeah, this guy's came out, and then Joshua looked like he had him. And then, nah, it was like, uh-oh.
Yeah. If he didn't win that good. In the first three rounds, it was over. So, fantastic achievement to him. Well done. That's me. I'm going to pass you on to Robin.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I was going to say shout out to Dante Joshua and that wee Ukrainian guy as well. T and my family. Bugger you, wee shit, you. Greg, have a great time on your break. Have a wonderful time. I hope you have a ball there, and I hope you safe travels. And we'll see everybody else on the show next week, and we'll be there. And everybody out there, have a safe time and a safe gaming week. And we'll catch you all next week. So, Greg, take us away.
Well, thank you for that, Robin. Absolutely excited for next week.
Well, happy birthday to you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Getting older is not a bad thing, I think. One thing about vacations, you know, getting to the vacation is probably one of the fucking most stressful things in the world. Just getting work wrapped up to a point that you feel like you can actually leave. I have been just stressed this past week, and it's going to continue into next week because for whatever reason, whenever you plan a vacation, it doesn't matter what time of year, clients seem to just somehow know it's happening. And they come out of the woodworks and they start wanting to book projects. And I'm just like, dear God, people, do you not understand? I'm trying to leave with a clean desk, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Extra Life. It is happening. Please, please support all of us that are doing Extra Life. Shout out to my mother-in-law, my nephew, happy birthday to them as well. And, thank you everybody for watching. I will return in 2 weeks time with Tales of Disneyland or Disney World, I should say, and Universal. Excited to see what is happening, out there in the Florida region. That's it. That's me. That's done. That's the show. Let's wrap it up with some music, Robin.
I think I picked the wrong week to buy a house in Las Palmas.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.